This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. The city of Bloomington may be moving toward a citizen-led police review board during a committee of the whole meeting Monday evening. Alderman also discussed the city's 20-year comprehensive plan and its relation to a sewer oversizing project on the city's Far East Side. In the studio to talk about both issues is Mayor Terry Renner. Terry, thanks for joining us on Sound Ideas.
Awesome to be here. Thanks.
Let's start with the sewer oversizing project and whether it should be included in the FY18 budget. What direction did you sense from Alderman last night?
I think it was pretty clear that this was not supported by the majority, maybe nobody on the city council. I think there were a couple who still wanted a little more information. But this is inconsistent with our comprehensive plan that almost 8,000 people were involved in. We have, and I've been saying this as I've been running for mayor, is that we can't continue to sprawl to the east. We see unacceptable times, for example, in responses to 911 service. It's just very, very, very costly. So we are trying to be a more sustainable city for the future. And that's the policies that I'm pursuing. This would absolutely be inconsistent with that.
Some people, I think, in the community think this is about the $300,000. It's not really about the $300,000 in a $210 million budget.
Well, it's about the $300,000 in some ways. That's the smaller issue. I would like that $300,000 to be put into existing sewers and rather than hypothetically doing this for a development that, frankly, I don't think we would ever really want to include in the city of Bloomington. But there is that broader issue. You're absolutely right on that. It's far bigger than $300,000. It's what is Bloomington going to be over the next generation? How are we going to, if we're going to grow, you know, in a very sensible way, in a sustainable way, we sure, don't want to do this. We don't want to encourage sprawl. And certainly new developments then, if they want to live out, 15 miles, fine, then let them provide their own services. Don't expect the city of Bloomington taxpayers to foot the bill for this.
Some aldermen wanted to know what that $300,000 might buy. Do we have accurate figures on what it would get you in resurfacing or future sewer relining in the city's core?
Well, essentially, Jim Karch, our public works director, was going to get back to us on giving us some examples of what we could do. But certainly we could reline several miles of sewers with that $300,000.
And fix 100-year-old sewers.
Exactly.
Do you think aldermen or the majority of the aldermen grasp the underlying issues of encouraging sprawl here, or do they see this as a ward versus ward kind of thing?
Well, some were talking about this as a ward versus ward thing. I think the majority understand that this is really not about the Grove. And let's be clear, nobody who lives in the Grove would benefit from this.
Or be hurt by it.
Well, actually, in a way, they could. Like, if this was oversized and we incorporated areas to the north of them, they could be hurt by it because there'd even be more congestion. There's apparently fairly long waits during, what we call rush hour, on Ireland Grove and Towanda Barnes Road.
Basically, there are two country roads servicing that subdivision.
Exactly. And again, none of this was planned out. But at this point, the whole issue here is actually sprawl. It's not to pick on the Grove.
Sure, and the Grove is sort of getting kicked around a little bit here.
Yes.
Unfairly.
Yes.
It's not about the Grove subdivision. It's about future development around the Grove or essentially north of the Grove subdivision.
Absolutely. Thanks for pointing that out. So that's absolutely the case. It's a 500-foot issue. It's really not about the Grove.
And there's still room for home development in the boundaries of the current Grove subdivision as it exists.
As it exists. And there are other areas of infill. If people want, we've heard some people don't want to live in old historic homes. Okay, that's fine. There are plenty of options. If you really want to grow, there are areas south of Ireland Grove that are about 4 or 5 miles closer.
Sure. Well,
we won't have to build another fire station because of it. We don't have to run newer sewer lines out because of it. It's probably more sustainable and it could probably pay for itself, which new growth should at least pay for itself. We shouldn't be taking money out of the pockets of people from our historic core or the west side or even the east side current residents to pay for development.
Do you think city staff, after this committee of the whole meeting last night, has a clearer direction now as it concerns these kinds of choices when it comes to the future budgets and future expenditures?
I think that point was made crystal clear. And actually, one of our strongest proponents of smart growth and smart development, Alderwoman Amelia Burgess, was not present last night. So, and she certainly would have added to the conversation. So I think it's very clear where the gravitational pull is at this point. And my guess is at the end of the day, this might even be supported by a 9-0 vote to take this out. Now, I could have line item vetoed this, and I did suggest that, but for a variety of reasons, partly because I didn't want it to seem like I was just picking on the Grove, but also to have a broader council discussion, and as you mentioned, an education process, not just of the council, but of the public, on why we're trying to make strategic decisions that are really in the long-term best interests of our community.
There, you touched on this. There's this discussion about people wanting to live in new construction. Some people want to live in a new home, and they should have that choice. But does new construction have to happen in a former cornfield on the periphery of the community?
Well, obviously, my answer to that question would be no. And if they do want to, if they want to do that, then they can incorporate and pay for their own police and fire and sewer and water and all of the services and parks. That's certainly an option. They're not going to do that because it would not be financially viable. So we need to make sure that it's financially viable, that it's good for our community.
What do you think of what former Alderman Jim Froon had to say before the meeting? He sort of cast this as a ward versus ward discussion. What do you think of what he had to say?
I have respect for Jim Froon. He's served the community for a long time. This is one thing I totally disagree with him on.
Is it so? This is more.
This is a holistic thing. This is not ward versus ward.
This is
a community wide. In fact, quite the contrary.
How important is it to you as mayor that the spirit and the letter of the comprehensive plan is followed from here on out?
Essential. I think that's one word and it pretty much sums it up, because we had about 8,000 people participate in that comprehensive plan and has some clear guidelines with future growth that's compact, contiguous, so that we have walkable, sustainable cities for the future. There'll be less pollution. There'll be less traffic. All of the things. This is the 21st century city model that people are looking towards.
Development on the periphery of the community, greenfield development, is easier than infill for developers. Is there a way to refocus developers in this community to look at the opportunities that exist closer to the city core?
Absolutely. And we do this a lot. I have conversations with possible developers all the time about a variety of different sites that are currently in the city of Bloomington. We don't have to worry about an annexation agreement, and that could very easily sustain new development.
That's Mayor Terry Renner, who joins us most Tuesdays following Monday evening council meetings. Aldermen met last night in a non-voting committee of the whole meeting. Five groups are now calling for some sort of citizen-led oversight board for the Bloomington Police. Where are you on this issue?
Well, obviously, we're bringing this to the I was with the city manager. We brought this to the council for discussion. And certainly, I've talked to all of the groups many times. And we do have a great group of police officers, but we've also got people in the community that are concerned. And if, as Barack Obama, former President Obama, said in the 21st Century Task Force that he put together on policing for the future, he said, if a segment of our society feels like they are detached from law enforcement, or that they think at least they can't trust law enforcement, then everybody has a problem. And so I think this conversation was a very good one. There are limitations to what this might be. There are a lot of options that were discussed, but it would not be, let's make it clear, it would not be an oversight board. It might be a review board, an advisory board, so that you have another set of eyes. Now, given our police contracts, it might be difficult for us to figure out exactly how that might be structured. One other possibility that some support, I think most don't, though, is maybe restructuring MAP, the Minority and Police Partnership Group. There are any number of possibilities that we're going to be considering. So last night was the beginning of the conversation, and all of the aldermen, except for Alderman Dave Sage, said that they felt that they would like to at least explore this and take it to the next step. And so we're going to be doing the individual elected officials some homework on this and coming back for a second wave of discussions to kind of narrow down our choices.
A couple of follow-up questions. One about the homework assignment. But first, let's talk about Alderman Sage and what he had to say. He didn't really see a need for a review board in light of the other mechanisms for police to file a complaint with the police. He also brought up things like coffee with a cop or ice cream with a cop. Do those count as legitimate touch points to resolve complaints?
Well, I don't know about result complaints. Actually, the President Obama's 21st Century Task Force on Law Enforcement does suggest more community policing and outreach like that, whether it's ice cream with a cop, coffee with a cop, walking the beat, understanding the community rather than being separate from a community. And so that part I understand, but that doesn't solve the underlying issue. as I believe Alderman Mboka of Milwaukee mentioned, that if there are some people who feel that they cannot or feel intimidated by filing any kind of complaints with the police, then we at least have a perception problem, if not a substantive problem. And that's what we're working on. So even if the best and best of intentions, even if this is all a perception problem, and I don't think it's all a perception problem. I think it's probably mostly a perception problem. But there are in a group of 125 police officers, you know, you're going to have a few people who go off the reservation. Now, we don't want any tragedies in Bloomington, but I can tell you most of our police officers are just very, very impressive people. The vast majority have degrees, college degrees. They have served in the military. I think most of them take their jobs very seriously. But that doesn't mean that we can't have another set of eyes.
Our past reporting here at GLT and then the Stevenson Center study released last week indicates African-Americans are treated differently by the police. At least they perceive that. Is that reason enough, do you think,
I think it's reason enough for us to have a conversation and to maybe have some extra checks in place or to try to build trust. I tried to keep it at 500 feet. If you'll note, we did not say on yesterday's Committee of the Whole, they did not say Citizens Task Force. That is one piece.
It was about
piece.
Police community relations.
And how can we generally improve that? And this might be one way, you know, to make that happen. And again, the council will continue. At least there seem to be all but Alderman Sage that we're interested in continuing a conversation to take this to the next step.
And let me circle back to the homework issue. Why didn't you ask staff to do that research instead of saying the aldermen have more work to do? Wouldn't that be staff's responsibility?
It would normally. I actually started with that. Alderman Sage said, we ought to own this. And I said, okay, well, let's see what we can come up with. And if we come back and our homework is like Swiss cheese, that is lots of gaping holes in it, then we may need to turn to staff to help fill in some of that. So certainly I think we did have actually our attorneys from Sterling Northrop had mentioned some options that we might have in terms of models. We would just have to craft, if the council wants to go forward with this, we would have to craft it around our union contracts, and it would have to be purely advisory.
Let's talk about the union contract. What the issues with the union contract prevent some sort of citizen-led review board that would have teeth?
Yeah, probably. It essentially says that you can't, once a police officer has gone through an internal investigation and it has been concluded, they cannot be compelled to testify to some citizens review board. So there may be any number of ways that this could be handled.
I mean, the city negotiates the contract with the police union, so it could be on the table at the next negotiating session, correct?
It could, but I think that would do, you know, if we can construct something that is consistent with our current union contract, I think that's win-win for everybody, because we don't want it to make it seem like we're attacking our police.
Sure.
We want them to be responsible, and we also need to monitor them. And they realize that. I mean, if you've got literally going to make life and death decisions, you know that you have to have checks.
But 200 cities in America have these civilian review boards, so certainly they have found a way, these communities have found a way
Absolutely.
To address
sure.
these concerns and work within or around the union contracts.
Right. And then they do run the gamut. Now, what we're saying here is, we go into this with that's sort of a structural issue. We already have these union contracts in place. They have been for decades. But we do need to see of the many, many different options of citizen advisory boards or review boards, what kind of composition, what kind of role might one have in Bloomington that would still be consistent with our law enforcement contracts.
And what sort of board could it be that might have actual repercussions for an officer? I mean, if it's a toothless board, what's the point of doing it?
Well, I don't know that it depends on what you mean by toothless board. I think having another set of eyes that would issue us a report if somebody feels aggrieved would certainly be news.
Well, certainly these groups probably, it would be news, but these groups probably want to have some sort of say in whether the officer is reprimanded or
right.
stays on the force.
And there aren't many places anywhere that actually have that. But the other thing that I would note is that this came up last night, and I tried to, and several people tried to reiterate this, is that we are getting body cameras Probably by the end of the year, maybe sooner.
And that's one of my, that was my next question asked, actually, is this, that's that the missing piece?
I think body cameras, what we do know is most of the empirical evidence that I see at the U.S. Conference of Mayors is body cameras right now significantly reduce the injuries of civilians and police officers. And so it certainly does change behavior. It seems to be more effective, frankly, than the institution of citizens review boards. Now, that doesn't mean one precludes the other, but the at this point, you know, there's no silver bullet, bad pun, I suppose, but the thing that seems most effective in reducing civilian injuries and officer injuries are body cameras, and we're moving in that direction.
What's the timeline for moving forward on some sort of review board or for council to address this again?
Well, we talked about this in just, again, very high level. Possibly sometime in about the next month, we'll come back, and depending on whether or not council's done their homework, of course, effectively, we'll see whether or not we have one or a couple of different options. Is council still interested in that as in terms of further reflection? Can we craft it so that it's consistent with our, obviously, the contract? So if we met and talked about it again in a month, then it could conceivably be as soon as a couple of weeks after that that we actually act on a specific proposal.
Okay, Mayor Terry Renner, thanks for joining us on Sound Ideas.
Thank you so much, Mike.
The mayors of Bloomington and Normal are regular guests on Sound Ideas and join us most Tuesdays following Monday evening meetings. This is GLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media.